This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Sometimes things don't go as you plan it to be, and that was the case for this past worship service. It was my State of the Church sermon, and apparently online, about a quarter of the way in or so, the volume dropped from the live stream, and from then on, for the rest of the service, there was no sound. So I appreciate those of you who are worshiping with us online that you kind of stuck with it a little bit or try to check back. The good news is, because of our wonderful AVL crew, we do have, which means audio, visual, and lights for those who may not know, that team did a wonderful job. They've identified the problem, so if it ever happens again, there'll be a little blip in the live stream where it'll cut off and then cut back on, but then the sound will be back on. And that's the most important part, so that you can not only see us worship, but you can worship with us as you hear the sermon or sing the hymns or whatever we are doing during that time. So the State of the Church sermon to me was so important that I needed to preach it again to you all in this kind of fashion, to preach it to a camera where we can you can hear what is coming down the pipeline and why I am so proud to be your pastor, and also what God is doing through the church in the future, in this next coming year. So to help put this all into context, I'm going to read both scriptures that were in the worship service so you can put your hats back on and get into space again to hear the word of God. And so it comes out of the first 17 verses of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. So hear now the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of a word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that it bears much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be gracious and glorious to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is a very interesting sermon to always write. It's fun to preach. Each year, while I've been at this appointment, I have given a State of the Church sermon. I did not necessarily plan to do it on the Sunday after the President's State of the Union address, but it was a fun coincidence. And so you can do so in the chat, in the comment section. You can give me an amen, or, you know, if you can hold your heckling down, that'd be fine. But we go through this time together because the purpose of this annual sermon is to name some of the ways that God has used us as a congregation in the past year and the ways that I feel God is moving us as a congregation in the new year. As I've done in the past, I went back to the last year's State of the Church sermon and looked at where I thought God was leading us to see if it has found its way into reality yet. Last year, I talked about the food miracles of Jesus and how in all of them, Jesus doesn't do a thing. He asks those around him to do the work and then the miracle just happens. He tells the servants to fill up jars and turns water into wine. He tells the disciples to throw the nets over on the other side of the boat and they catch an amazing amount of fish. He tells the disciples to take the 5 loaves, 2 fish, give it out to the group of 5,000 people there, and then collect the leftovers. Jesus doesn't do anything, but the miracle happens. We do the work. I concluded with a quote that Chris Pressler and I learned about when we visited Journey Church down in Columbia, South Carolina, to talk about both and worship. The Reverend Dr. Ashford said, as we were discussing things after worship, he said, "Growth will cost you." In my sermon, I also added that decline will cost us as well. And I ended the sermon with this question. Are we, Milford Hills United Methodist Church, willing to do the work necessary for a miracle to happen? If you think you have done some work this year and provided for some miracles to happen, then just simply say amen to yourself, because I believe some good things have happened. We have in 2022 worked hard on where God is leading us and what our future might hold as a church in this community and world. We continue to work on a transformation journey process, and two teams in particular have worked very hard this past year. The listening team was in the middle of their work, about to wrap it up as the new year started, and they were giving their final report. In that final report, it said that the congregation, but then also the community outside our church, wants us to focus on children, youth, and young adults. But this process also led us to making a vision statement, which gives specifics on how we can live into our mission as a congregation. So let me break down our vision statement for everyone. And I know that it's been in newsletters and you may have read it here and there, but I haven't preached about it. So let me just highlight a couple of the things that are in our vision statement of how we are to live in to this statement to be the church that God is calling us to be. This is what our mission statement says. It says, "Milford Hills United Methodist Church's vision for our congregation is to live into our mission, to love as Christ by creating a safe and welcoming space for people to truly feel they belong, meeting people where they are, building deep connections and relationships without judgment." This past year, we have welcomed in 4 new people. Well, actually, 3 new people and 1 person we've welcomed back into the flock. One of the proudest things for me as your minister is that I truly believe that this congregation as a whole would welcome anyone who came through our doors and into our congregation. I believe it because I have seen it happen. We are not a very racially diverse church, a group of people, but we are still a diverse group of people nonetheless. Our congregation is full of people on almost every spectrum of socioeconomic lines, political lines, and cultural lines. I happily announce that we are diverse in many ways. And to me, this is an image of what the church is truly supposed to be about. Do we have space to grow in our diversity, especially racially? By all means, yes. The way we do so, though, is in the 3 areas of loving as Christ. Now, the next second part of our vision is to serve as Christ by an Acts 1:8 model of missions, which is to serve locally, regionally, and globally, being committed to reaching the children, youth, and young adults in our community, supporting and enabling our existing local ministries. We are living into these 3 statements in our vision, but there is still room to grow. We support local ministries extremely well with donations and with our time. Meals on Wheels says that we have some of the best volunteers in all of Salisbury who are dedicated to that wonderful ministry. There isn't a ministry in Salisbury that does not have a longtime volunteer or someone on a board from our congregation. We do a lot locally. But a missions team is beginning in the beginning stages of building an Acts 1:8 model of missions. And if you're not familiar with it, Acts 1:8 says this. It's some of Jesus' last words to his disciples. And so Jesus says, "Rather you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The way we translate that is Jerusalem for the disciples was local. We look at our local missions, and we do a wonderful job. But then Judea and Samaria, that was more regional for the disciples. And we are growing that kind of mission and outreach now. And we do things globally, which was referred to in the verse as to the ends of the earth. And so we look at regional or local, regional, and global when it comes to working with children, youth, and young adults. I've already talked about kind of our local connections, but globally, we are just wrapping up our first year of being a half group sponsor and our commitment to Zoe Empowers. We are half sponsors of 96 children who just a year ago were living in abject poverty. The vast majority of these orphans have no family support. And this summer, we are sending 3 or 4 of our members to go visit and to do the work that Zoe is doing over there, to see firsthand what is going on, and hopefully our specific group of children and youth. Regionally, we continue to do work. Tomorrow night, which is actually tonight, we will be meeting with the camp director of Camp Tocoa, John Isley, and he'll be talking to our missions team about how we can move into a deeper relationships to help with their goals for scholarships for the camp and bringing up the number of campers who can go to Camp Tocoa on scholarships. In addition, we will be reaching out regionally by our youth heading out to Carolina Cross Connections this summer. They're going to Manio, North Carolina, to do small construction projects on homes and in different places on that island. And so we look forward to that coming in July. Now, the last part of our vision statement is this, is to live as Christ by building authentic relationships with our neighbors, reflecting and honoring the diverse community we live in, following a path that leads to being faithful and compassionate disciples of Jesus Christ. The ability to live as Christ is our calling to discipleship. So what does a good disciple look like? This is an area I think we need to cultivate in 2023. I think creating a path to discipleship would help us all realize where we are in our walk with God. However, I think John 15 does a great job on giving us some reasons behind the things that we have listed under this part of our mission to live as Christ. John 15:9, just to remind you, says, "As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you have kept my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." If we keep God's commandments to love God and to love our neighbors, then living as Christ will happen. Discipleship will happen. We will build authentic relationships, reflect our community, and be faithful and compassionate disciples of Jesus Christ. But this will not be easy, and I will not give you any kind of false hope that this will be easy. We are living in the midst of a great storm and time of tribulation with our denomination. Disaffiliations are happening at a rapid rate around us. If you aren't familiar with those terms, let me kind of bring you up to speed a little bit on that unique United Methodist word during this time period, and I'll quickly explain what is happening if you do not know. Back in 2019, at a special called General Conference, a paragraph was added to the Book of Discipline that stated a congregation could vote to leave the denomination through a process called disaffiliation. So this is what the new paragraph 2553, states. Because of the current deep conflict within the United Methodist Church around issues of human sexuality, a local church shall have a limited right under the provisions of this paragraph to disaffiliate from the denomination for reasons of conscience regarding a change in the requirements and provisions of the Book of Discipline related to the practice of homosexuality or the ordination or marriage of self-avowed practicing homosexuals as resolved and adopted by the 2019 General Conference or the actions or inactions of its annual conference related to these issues which follow. 61 churches within the URA district, our district, have entered into the process of disaffiliation. And the bishop has called a special virtual annual conference to be happening on Saturday, May 6th, to deal with these disaffiliations and also the disaffiliations of clergy. But please remember that back in 2019, the traditional plan was passed, which means that our stance as a denomination on homosexuality did not change. But some congregations and pastors feel like a change is coming, and they do not want to be part of a denomination that changes its stance in that area. If they feel this way, they are disaffiliating. And this has a time limit, though. The time limit is that it happens, they have to disaffiliate before December 31st, 2023. They have until then to do that, because after that, they can't, because something else happens. In 2024, the General Conference will hopefully meet. I say hopefully because we are supposed to meet back in 2020, but due to the pandemic, and then they tried to reschedule, and it just kept being pushed back and pushed back because we are a global denomination, and it just couldn't happen globally, that they had to reschedule it, and they said, we'll put it off until 2024 when our regular scheduled General Conference is happening. But what is also wonderful, but then also it's going to make it extremely hard to ignore, is that it's in our own backyard in Charlotte, North Carolina. It'll be happening April 23rd through May 3rd of 2024 in the Charlotte Convention Center, right down 85 from us. It'll be a big moment and an important moment in the life of our denomination. But this storm that we're in the midst of as a denomination, even though we're in the midst of it, I still do not feel the wind or see the waves within our own congregation. I brought up the fact about disaffiliation in many other settings, and I had a special evening where we kind of went through what was happening. We had about 30 or 40 people kind of attend that. But during all this, I have never heard that Milford Hills United Methodist Church wants to leave the United Methodist Church. And I'm happy for that, because I do not want to leave the United Methodist Church either. I truly believe at the core of our theology, the United Methodist Church has something to offer this world, and the world needs to hear it. It needs to understand our call to personal and social holiness. It needs to hear how God's grace is always pursuing us, always working through us, always calling to us. We need to share with the world that God wants us to be the salt and the light to the world. And our vision statement now proclaims that. I think the biggest reason that we haven't felt the wind and the waves of this storm in our denomination is because our district superintendent back in 2019 or in 2020 recommended us for the transformation journey. The transformation journey has given us purpose and vision and meaning during a very hard time in our church's life. When I was appointed here in 2018, I knew that we'd be facing the special called annual or general conference of our church. I knew we'd be facing those kind of decisions. I knew that part was going to be hard. I had no idea, though. Never saw a pandemic coming and that we would have to figure out how to navigate through this as a congregation and as part of my ministerial career. But the transformation journey, that gave us tools to focus and to get through what we have been going through. So currently we are wrapping up our work with our third guide. We are now done with our third guide. We're not done with the work that is in that, which is our new long-range plan, but our guide has led us through this initial section. We reported last month at a luncheon that we're in the process of becoming or getting into a relationship with a consultant to help us navigate the next steps ahead of us. And I truly feel that as we do this work, that God's will is being sought out by that team, and that we want to extend that opportunity to this congregation. So just as John states in the 15th chapter that pruning and growing is important to bear good fruit for this world. In John 15, 7 through 8, it says, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce fruit, much fruit, and in this way, prove that you are my disciples. This is kind of our call as we're going into this Lenten season. And because of the work in front of us and our call to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to be going into Lent as a time of prayer and opening ourselves up for God's will for our land and for our facilities. We are asking ourselves, How can we use our space that we have and develop our unused space to do what God is asking us to do in the future? We will be doing this through a Lenten prayer book. It will definitely be ready by Ash Wednesday. My hope is that it's ready by next Sunday, so everyone can get it. But the staff has to build that, and we're currently working on it. What we want everyone to use, though, is to use this book to guide us as a congregation through the 46 days of Lent and to be focused on prayer and what God's will for our future is. We hope that after this time, we can start to get a really good picture of what we are called to do in the future. Maybe there are places that need to be pruned. Where are the areas that are producing good fruit that need some fertilizer to continue to do so? And what is the potential to bear even more fruit? And what does that look like? I'm going to go into the Lenten season, our time of prayer, without any kind of preconceived notions. And I pray that you will not do that either. But may we all be willing to go through this process and to honestly share what God is laying on our hearts. Luke 15 shows us that if we remain in God, God remains in us. And we cannot be a congregation who is making a difference in this community and world without God. If we did, then we'd just be another civic organization. But we are the church, though, and we understand the power of transformation. We understand what it means to love each other just as God loves us. My prayer going into the rest of 2023 and 24 is that we will love as Christ, live as Christ, that we live into our mission to serve as Christ. And we express this through our love for the LGBTQIA+ community. You may not understand them or agree with the way that God created them, and I understand that. We all have different understandings of people and ways to look at the world. I don't understand why there are so many good Methodists out there that don't root for Duke, where the seminary actually is. But they do, and I love them anyway. We can do that too. We can love our fellow LGBTQIA+ brothers and sisters as simply bearers of the image of God, just as we are. We can also express our love for the people who are caught up in this disaffiliation process. There are those who are ready to leave. They're mad at our denomination, and they are ready to walk out the door, and some of them already have. Others are crushed that their church that they know, they love, that they've been there their entire lives, is no longer a United Methodist congregation. We can love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ during this storm. We can love each other, our fellow pewmates, our fellow people who gather together in Sunday school classes and around the tables in the fellowship hall. We can love each other as we explore what God is calling us to do with our buildings and our land. We can open ourselves up to start conversations with love and understanding. We all want the best for our congregation. So let us work with love and work with each other to accomplish just that. As one member said during one of our meetings, he said, we are on the cusp of something big. I agree. I feel like God is doing something big within our church. I'm excited to see what God unveils to us about our future. But until that is revealed, let us love, serve, and live as Christ towards each other, towards our neighbors, and towards God. Let us live into that calling and those commandments in order to show Salisbury, North Carolina, to show Rowan County and the whole state of North Carolina, our country and the world, what it means to be church, what it means to be United Methodist, and most importantly, what it means to be a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to use us, to work through us, that grace that always pursues us, that has transformed us and is now working through us to better this world, may that be expressed in the way that we live into our mission, the way that we live into our vision, the way that we can be church in this community and world. As we move into Lent in just a short couple of a week and a half, May we be able to tune our ears, our hearts, and our souls to your Holy Spirit, and that you can work through us to understand what will you have for our congregation. What do you want us to do with our land, with our buildings, with us? How can we be your church? Lord, we ask this all in the loving name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.